I don't know if you knew, but I hung out with your mom yesterday. In real life.
Oh, I didn't realize my mom went to the game.
Yeah, she was at the game.
So it was you, Paul, Anna, and my mom?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
Incredible.
That's great.
For once, not a fake your mom joke, but
wow.
In real life. Yeah. Literally with your mom last night.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, how will I ever recover from this?
Howdy, it's Friday, March 27th, 2026, and this is episode 276 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Askin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
Getting episodes posted before we record the next one.
Oh, yeah. I thought this was going to be the first time of probably many that we were going to be multiple episodes in the hopper, but no, you got it done.
There will come a time where that happens, but not today.
Not today.
So, happy about that. I have a would you rather, but it needs to come after the news. The news that just came out the other day is that the Atlantic City Air Show is actually going to be in May this year, probably because of our suggestions to either have it in May or September, October.
It does sound better, certainly.
It is still after Memorial Day, though.
I think that's okay. That's still probably a pretty late weekend compared to the middle of July. So
yes, so last year it was in the middle of July, smack in the middle of July. This year, the second annual Soar and Shore Air Show will be May 29th to the 31st. The weekend after Memorial Day. From the press release from visitatlanticcity.com, who actually is also the main sponsor of the air show, apparently.
What is that? Is that like some CRDA-funded
yeah, I'm sure.
group? Or okay.
The initial slate of performers features the United States Air Force F-22 Raptor and the U.S. Marine Corps F-35B Lightning II demo team as its headlining acts. So not quite on the level of...
The Blue Angels or whatever?
Thunderbirds, yeah. Blue Angels. But we'll take it.
Yeah.
Because last year it was like Bob's Flying Circus or something, right? So this seems like a step up above that.
Yeah, pretty much. I think it sounds like a step up. I mean, certainly at the Oriole game yesterday that we went to on opening day, we got a helicopter flyover. And let me tell you, that was some lame shit. No one wants that.
Yeah, I've seen those before.
It's not good.
It's not that exciting.
No, it's truly the least exciting.
It's like, oh, helicopters. I mean, if you live around...
That literally flies over my house
right.
Like, every day, so...
I was going to say, going to, I guess, Fort Meade and back all the time. Right. Like, I feel like right. You just see helicopters nonstop in that part of Maryland.
Yep.
So, here's the would you rather, based on this news item. Would you rather go to EC the weekend of the Soar and Shore Air Show, presented by Visit AC, or the weekend of the St. Patrick's Day Parade?
So, I don't know if you... know this or remember this, but I have actually been to the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
I did not know that or remember it.
So, if you recall, I went with one of my buddies to Atlantic City, and I visited you on that
trip.
Oh,
yes, right after my son was born.
Holden was like a week old, right?
Correct. He would have been, 2 weeks old.
And that was the weekend of the St. Patrick's Day Parade. We didn't actually see the parade, but certainly there were a lot of people there.
Was it slammed?
It was pretty busy, actually. I mean, it was cool. Yeah, I'd much rather go during the St. Patrick's Day Parade, though. I think it seems like, one, it would be much less busy during that time of year. Two, that's kind of more my crowd. It would be neat to see the air show, but I don't need to do that necessarily. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm generally indifferent, which is, that's how you know that this is a good would you rather.
Yep.
Because I don't really care that much either way. I'm trying to think which would be less overrun with everything. I think the St. Patrick's Day Parade is probably more interesting for people watching. I expect that it also filters more into the bars, and the stuff that I want to do is not really super affected. Like, I don't think it's probably much, much, much harder to get on a slot machine the weekend of the St. Patrick's Day Parade or a video poker machine, but it probably is a fun scene at the bars, so I think that's probably a good time to do it. The air show, I don't know, it just is like crowded and then there's loud airplanes. I guess it's cool to see 5 minutes of airplane stuff and then go back inside to the casino, but I think mostly the effect that you would feel on the weekend is just crowdedness, right?
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think for that reason, I'm going with St. Patrick's Day also.
I wouldn't be against going during the air show weekend or whatever. And I think it would be neat, assuming I could get my normal comps, which I would guess I couldn't. So
yeah, that's true.
Whereas St. Patrick's Day Parade, I don't think it's so big of a thing that it wouldn't necessarily impact that.
Yeah, I don't know. We should check next year. Obviously, we can't check 350 days from now.
I mean, I'm sure that it's up on the Caesar's calendar, but certainly more than like 6 months out, it just has nonsense versus up. So,
yeah. Any other thoughts on the air show? Are we going the weekend after Memorial Day?
I mean, you tell me. I don't know.
Almost certainly not. I'm also never going to AC again, so let's just keep that in mind.
You told me that we were going in April. I was promised.
No, I can't think about all that right now.
You're not a man that would go back on his word.
Aren't I?
All right, so we have mailbags.
Yes, we have mailbags.
First, from friend of the pod, question mark, Dave.
question mark.
question mark. Enemy of the pod? I don't know. So Dave wants to know, if you ever hit a six-figure jackpot, would that end your slot play? Part of me feels I'd never want to play slots again because I know the chance of it happening again are slim to none given how often I play.
I responded to Dave directly about this, and what I will say is I wouldn't even be done for that day. I would get my hand pay, and I would be right back to playing slots, and I would probably be playing 10 bucks a spin for a little bit, just like something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bigger question is, would the long-term punishment be that I then feel that I need to play higher denomination slots, higher dollars per spin slots, because I've hit this big jackpot for one thing, so I'm like, oh, I've got all this money in my pockets, which clearly can't go to anything else but slots. Or could I just go back to playing, you know, 70 cents a press Heidi? That is a tougher one.
I think that you would be able to filter back down to your usual levels pretty quickly. I don't think it would change your life too much.
I think the rest of that trip, I would absolutely be just burning that money, like giving a lot of that, but not a lot, but like more than I'd like to admit to myself on the podcast, back to the casino. I'd be playing $10 a spin or something.
I don't think you would give that much back. You know, I would say my guess for you, you hit $100,000 jackpot. Like, how much are you giving back to the casinos for, you know, let's say you're going to be there for 24 hours after that? I bet it's under $2,000, which given a $100,000
jackpot. That's what I was going to say.
Jackpot, it's not, you know.
Yeah, that's true. And I would feel bad about giving the $2,000 back because of the amount that I'm normally bringing and playing.
Yeah. No. It would be more than usual, certainly, but I don't think you would go crazy.
But my thought is, you know, between trips, once that money is in the bank account, I think I come back and I'm just right back to 70 cent slots. Maybe I'm playing like $1.50 spin nickel slots, but I'm certainly not going up to anything crazy. And I think it would only take one trip of being minus $400 or $500 to be like, no, screw that. Back to 50 cents a spin. Where's my true penny slots? One line, one penny. Dink. What about you? What would you do if you hit a six-figure slot jackpot? You play less slots, so would you just say, up lifetime on slots, I'm done with this nonsense forever?
I think it probably wouldn't change my behavior that much, honestly. I think, like you, I'd probably give some of it back that trip, but not all that much. No, I don't think it would change, really, what I do.
You know, if you hit that jackpot, you can truly never again say that you're due for a win on slots, right? So if you think about it that way...
It depends how much slots you play.
That's true. I do play a lot of slots. So maybe I should never play slots again if I can't ever be due again.
I think one of the gags that we need to do in the future is we need to have a day where we're in Atlantic City and truly the only thing you're allowed to do is play one line, one penny for the whole day.
Oh, that would be great.
You would be losing your mind in about 10 minutes, I think.
Oh, my! It would be awful. I mean, it would be horrible. Could you imagine, like, the best do is probably, like, a 10-cent win on any press?
I bet you could get, like, a, you know, a dollar win or something, but, yeah, it would be bad.
Oh, man. It would be funny. I wouldn't want to do it for a whole day. Unless we were doing vlogs and we were doing, like, funny videos, I wouldn't want to do that for the lols, but...
It's not good for the pod.
It would be funny to put in $20 and just see how painful it is to try to either run through that $20 or turn that $20 into 30, which is seems impossible.
Right.
On one line, 1 cent press. How long would it take?
I can't imagine.
How painful would it be? It would take forever. I mean,
you would walk away with like 12 tier credits or whatever after 2 hours of play.
I mean, it's 2,000 credits, right?
Incredible.
That's so much time putting through a machine. I mean, if you think about, if you're normally doing 50 cents a press, which is really cheap on a current slot machine, this is 1/50th of that.
Right.
Oh, man. It would be very funny, though. I mean, it would only be funny for us. We need to definitely have some beers in us. The other thing you need to calculate is how many Coors Lights or Miller Lights can you get to the machine in this amount of time?
Oh, my gosh. Think of the EV. You'd be way up, man. Well, you could have like 8 Miller Lights in those tiny showboat cups probably in the time your $20 takes to spend down.
Assuming, though, that you're at Ocean, Borgata, Golden Nugget, one of the casinos that doesn't have the meter.
Oh, that's true.
Because it's Caesars.
Caesars would shut it down.
It's counting up. Although sometimes...
It's pretty fast, honestly, I think. Even at a penny a spin, I think you would be able to get drinks reasonably quickly at Caesars.
I think it would take 500 spins. But they will, I will say, depending on how crowded it is, they will actually just come around and ask if you want a drink, even if you haven't punched something in the machine. I expect because the old can't deal with the new technology on the screen. Even though they're touching the screen to play the game, to touch the screen to order a drink, they need a technology specialist such as myself to come and show them how to do it or write mm-hmm. very detailed instructions. So both of us said that we're just continuing on as it were, as we were.
I would assume so. It's possible I might play slightly less, I think. It's more likely than me playing more, I would guess. But I think it'd be largely the same.
I also think it would be the same. I think I would. It's slightly more likely that I would play more, mm-hmm. not less.
I agree. Yeah.
I think the thing that would actually make me play less that day is that I'd be out celebrating.
Right.
I'd be taking people to dinner.
I feel like I'd be like, all right, it's time to go to $100 Bach. It's what I have to do.
That's true. You would do that.
That is what I would do.
A sort of follow-up question to this because of jackpots is we sort of used to have a rule, and I don't know if it was a hard rule or if it was just sort of a generally agreed upon thing, that if anybody hit $1,000 payout.
That's right. They would buy dinner.
They would buy dinner for everybody. I feel like that is not a big enough threshold anymore.
Yeah, I think especially with the WTG going up, it needs to be at least $1,500 now, I would say. I think if it's only me and you, $1,000 is fine.
Right.
But if there's like five people there, you're going to spend $1,000 on that dinner. So
yeah, right. Exactly. And even us, like we now go to some places that are a little more expensive. It's not like we're going right. to Tony's Baltimore Grill.
I mean, we could.
So, you know, even for two people, if you got $1,000 and you're like, let's go to Nobu.
Right.
You can eat up, you know, 40% of that $1,000.
You took me to Continental, yeah, last time you hit a Royal. So I think that's the appropriate standard of restaurant.
I agree. I think that's true. I think it also depends on how many people are there. I think it needs to be, I think like $500 per person that's there.
Yeah, I think you should expect to walk away with $1,000 profit after dinner to make it worthwhile.
I mean, how bad would that suck, though, if you hit a $2,500 jackpot and then you've got seven friends there, so you're spending $1,500
right.
on dinner?
That's true. That would suck.
Everybody, but that just popped into my head. I think I had that conversation with our friend Andy, who was probably just rolling his eyes the whole time.
Right.
Dave also asks, if you were the CEO of one of the Atlantic City casinos and you could do one capital construction project, what would it be?
I mean, I think the way I see it is that there's three clear tiers of Atlantic City casinos, and the answer has to be different for all of them, right?
Okay.
So there's Bally's, Resorts, Golden Nugget, and like they just need to try to survive, to be very honest. They can't be thinking about huge pie in the sky, big dreams. It's like they need to be able to make payroll like in the next quarter or whatever.
Yeah, I think for this exercise, you've got to be Borgata, Hard Rock, Ocean.
Right. Caesars is just like a mess, and God only knows what they're doing with their three properties. And then, yeah, Borgata, Hard Rock, Ocean, you can start to think about, is there some way we can grow the pie for everyone in Atlantic City? They can think a bit bigger than just, we need to not go out of business, or like whatever it is that Caesars is doing.
Yeah. Bally's is building something called the not go out of business machine. That will be the right. capital construction project.
So you want me to think about it? Like, so let's say I'm like, you know, Ocean or Hard Rock or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's tough. Certainly for Ocean or Hard Rock. Being able to subsidize either more stuff that's interesting up on the boardwalk up there or like twisting the CRDA's arm to get them to release some of the property and be able to do something up there would be like good for both of them. Honestly, it'd be good for the city. Certainly once you go past the Steel Pier, there's not really a ton of stuff to do up in that part of town. There's like what? Tony Baloney's and...
Right.
That's it.
Hot Bagels and More.
Hot Bagels and More is pretty decent. I mean, I think there's like Putt-Putt up there somewhere too.
There is around the corner on the boardwalk.
Yeah, a few other things. But I think building out that part of town, I think you could do something interesting with it. And like I said, maybe that's more like them trying to twist CRDA's arm, given that the casinos are part of the CRDA. Yeah, I don't know. Borgata is interesting just because they're kind of off on their own. So as much as we like to mock them, I think it does make sense that they may not want to improve the boardwalk, even though that is really what draws people to Atlantic City.
Right. No, they absolutely don't want to improve the boardwalk.
Maybe they need to build a huge, newer, nicer casino between Borgata and Harris. No, I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's a tough question. I think it's a really hard question. By and large, I think Borgata does a very good job already. They've refurbished pretty much everything in the property, it seems like, in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So I think they're basically doing a good job. And they were pretty down a couple of years ago. And like you can see, we talk about it every month, how much they've come back. So I think by and large, they've done a nice job.
So we've talked about the Pier, ACX1, Playground, mm-hmm. Caesar's Pier. I mean, renovating that obviously would be great, but I think I'm trying to avoid just nostalgia picks, which would be, I think, that and Wild Wild West, resurrecting Wild Wild West as it was in its glory.
That would be a bad pick, I think.
Yeah, it would be a terrible use of funds.
I mean, I do think having something like that, that people could actually park for free somehow, and like this would be probably more in Caesar's purview than anyone else's, that would be a really good thing for the city. I mean, frankly, there's still the outlets there, and like the last few times I've walked through them, there has not been a whole lot going on out there in a way that makes me feel sad inside.
We do tend to be there on like a Monday.
At weird times, yeah. Like, well, I go at 2 p.m. or whatever on a weekday, so.
I was thinking, in terms of what would be best for Atlantic City and tourism, the things I was trying to think of are, what does Vegas have that Atlantic City really lacks? And certainly that style of forum shops-esque, huge shopping attraction where it's, you know, nice stores, good dining options, which you could say I'm describing the old Caesar's Pier.
Right.
But right now, is the Quarter the only thing even remotely close to that?
It's not really the same. It's more restaurants than, there's not like a ton of shopping in there, right?
Right. I mean, there's a few. There's like a White House Black Market. There's really just some generic candy stores and kind of stuff you see in most casinos, I'd say. There's not really a ton of good stuff in that mall.
I mean, it seems like Tropicana is an interesting, I feel like it can support so many restaurants compared to the size of the casino. Between that and the marketplace, it's got to be like 15 restaurants in Trop, right?
There's a ton. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
So I would think that if Caesars got their act together, they should be able to put 4 restaurants back into the pier or whatever and like sell at least some of the second floor back to shopping. And then like maybe the best thing to do with the first floor is to make it kind of like what it was originally intended as, is, well, what Bart Blatstein originally intended it as, is like a bar area or whatever. I think that would be cool.
All right. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy one I want that is a bad idea on the level of Wild Wild West is a shiny new on the boardwalk 90s style themed casino that looks like Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory from the 1971 movie.
I like the slot, so I'm not against it.
It's got to look updated. It's got to look like a 2026 version of that. It can't look like 1971. But give me a Bellagio atrium style thing, but it just looks exactly like the movie with the chocolate waterfall. Come on.
They need to have the slots in there, though. That's really what I...
That's a given.
Yeah.
The problem with these themed things, and I think it's what you're seeing in Vegas too with the de-theming of everything, is like the theme is a big attraction when it opens and people are like, oh, I have to go see that. And then they do go see that and they don't really need to see it again. Unlike me, who loves it and only ever wants to stay at Excalibur or New York, New York.
I just love that you love New York, New York so much, given that you used to live in New York, you still work in New York. It's just your favorite. You can't get enough of it.
The idea of New York, New York, I always like a lot. And when I see pictures, I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, the exterior looks awesome. Uh-huh. The little Times Square inside looks awesome. The food court area where it's, like, the pavers looks awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a good meal at the deli or whatever at New York, New York, or last trip.
But then when you're actually in there, it just feels like a huge black box. There are these design elements, but it's not as themed out as Paris. Like, Paris is really a much more well-done theme than New York, New York.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people are down on Paris right now, but that's Vegas, and this is an Atlantic City podcast. So, the other thought I had was Borgata could do a big, serious outdoor music venue. None of this, the deck or whatever Harrah's tried to do on the cement outside of the poker room, like a legit outdoor music venue that could take big festivals and acts and stuff.
Kind of in the space between them and Harrah's, or?
Sure.
Like, where are you thinking?
Yeah.
There's not that much.
There's tons of space over there.
Yeah. No, I think it's interesting.
Make it happen.
I mean, if only MGM and Caesars could get together and agree to do something with that space like they allegedly promised to be doing.
Yes.
According to one press conference, exactly, and then never heard anything about it again.
Neither party ever said anything about it. That's how you know it's legit.
Yeah. Chris Christie, though, he said stuff about it.
He was very confident that that was happening. So that's Dave's questions. Mailbag legend Pat G sent a boatload of questions.
Many questions.
But first, he had some kind words. He said, just listen to the latest episode, which not the one that came out 10 hours ago. Last episode, the 274 with the bros and the families and the olds. He said, I can identify with a lot of the direct and subtle banter on this one. The bros at the craps table, I find them amusing and part of the entertainment value I extract from an AC trip. Not wanting to be surrounded by families because I feel a little guilty not being with our kids, wife's preference for ocean, my preference for boardwalk, how a Nobu room is nestled in the Caesar's sadness, etc. Just wanted to let you know the conversation hit home for this oldish. So thanks for that note. On to the questions. He sent, I think, 12 or 13 questions. I've categorized them or reordered them into categories. So the first category I have of his questions is local businesses. So he says, Kyle, I think, mentioned Heyday Coffee moving. Is that a thing? I recall last, maybe a year ago, going there in Orange Loop near Cardinal. That is still where it is. So it moved a while ago. It used to be on Tennessee Avenue, up past Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall, further out toward Atlantic.
Yeah, near like the Spirits and whatever was there.
Yeah, even further out past that. Mm-hmm. Now it's on New York Avenue, very close to Cardinal, and it is not a long walk off the boardwalk. I mean, I'm always surprised how close Cardinal is to the boardwalk, that because it's right there.
It is seem closer than yeah.
For some reason, I have it in my head that it's a further walk than it is, but it is not. It's very quick off the boardwalk.
Yeah, it's much closer than Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall, let's say.
Yeah, so if you're in need of a coffee, highly recommended, pop out there, go get yourself a decent coffee. Better than Dunkin' Donuts, that's for sure. Pat also says, I'm cheating on my favorite Chef Vola and going to Cafe 2825 with a crew on a couple's trip at the end of March. Maybe this episode will come out before then? Probably not.
Certainly not. It is the end of March now.
It's probably on its way there right now. It's been at least a decade since I was there last. Have either of you been there? I think one of you went with your wives, your own wife, not a swingers thing.
I mean, one never knows, but you were there, so what do you think?
I did go. I went with my wife. I had sky-high expectations. I thought it was good, but not as good as it was built up to be. I say that, though, and I know that Vinny Chen's from 7OUT thinks it's fantastic, so I would trust his food review.
He's got more Italian cred than you do.
He certainly has more Italian cred. I have literal zero Italian cred. So, yeah, I would say trust his opinion. Trust the, oh, now I forget the guy's name, the guy who wrote the article about the best Italian places in New Jersey that picked Cafe 2825. So, yeah, I mean, I think it is widely considered very, very good. And I should really go back.
We need to go to Chef Ola. I mean, that's true. I know I tell you that all the time, but it's unbelievable that we have not been to Chef Ola yet.
Yep. Last one in the local businesses section. In February, when seeing the Mac tourney, I noticed the Atlantic City Bar and Grill was closed. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, we went, I probably was, what, 2 years ago, I would guess? 2-3 years ago, something like that.
Yep.
It turned out to be right before it ended up closing, I think.
Yeah, closed not long after that. We got our little mini mugs.
Pretty empty. We got we have our tiny mugs. We got mussels there, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It was fine. I mean, did it blow me away? Like, not really. I mean, for me, famously, I know I've said on the pod, half the reason I love the Atlantic City Bar and Grill so much is because it was a early supporter, like, advertiser on my favorite website ever. I love AC.com or whatever. LUVAC.com. Which, by the way, that guy who ran that website, I think, just died a couple years ago, unfortunately. But just a masterpiece of the early internet.
Yeah, I mean, we went, we sat at the bar, we got some food. It was a cool place.
You took a picture of the bartender and he commented on it like, hey, that's me.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. I took a picture of the bar and the bartender was like stocking stuff in the back. And
yeah.
I thought it was fine. I didn't think we desperately needed to go back. That was when we tried to go in on, I believe, Atlantic Avenue. And
yeah, and it's like, no, you can't come in the
then
store.
Then they had to come around the side door and unlock it for us.
Right.
So that's never a great sign for a business.
No.
If you just don't trust the neighborhood that you're in at all.
Yeah.
That was our experience at Atlantic City Bar and Grill.
It was all right. I mean, yeah, I didn't feel the need to run back there or anything.
It was a cool place to sit for a little bit, but
yeah, it was a nice place to sit. I'm glad we went. I'm glad that we got to see it before it shut down, I guess.
Pat also asked some podcast questions. Do you want to take one of these?
Yeah, sure. So Pat says, I appreciate you guys not barring consideration of other gaming destinations like some podcasts frustratingly do. Did you guys actively decide to keep it open to all places, or was it just a natural extension that never occurred to you as in scope or out of scope? I mean, I think for me, it's Atlantic City was the thing that we talked about the most before we had a podcast. It was always natural that was going to be what our podcast was largely going to be about, but certainly we never intended to make it only about Atlantic City. It's more kind of whatever we're happen to be thinking about that is at least somewhat gambling related, I think, or gaming related. As it used to be on the podcast. Gaming Biz.
It started as, Atlantic City and Casino Biz Podcast.
Yeah.
We shortened that to just Atlantic City Podcast. But Part of it is just, you know, if you run a Vegas podcast, there's so much just Vegas stuff to talk about that if you start getting into a bunch of other stuff, yeah, I think it can just get unwieldy. Whereas, you know, Atlantic City has 9 casinos. It's not.
I think that's kind of BS, frankly. I think if you want to talk about other stuff and you have a Vegas podcast, it's totally fine. And I think if we wanted to only talk about AC, that would also be totally fine. But it's just not what we want to do.
Right. I mean, I know, I'm pretty sure 500 has said, you know, I don't think they will, you know, read emails about non-Vegas gambling. And certainly the Facebook group, they don't want to see a bunch of non-Vegas other casino stuff. Which, I mean, if you're running a Facebook group and it's exclusively Vegas stuff, and then you get a bunch of people posting, like, random Harris Cherokee and stuff like that. That's not Vegas related, right? But I mean, for us, I think it's just our gambling experience. And so we never really considered not including it. And it's not like we're gambling so often that we can't fit this content into our episodes, right? Like if one of us goes to Horseshoe Baltimore in between episodes.
I went yesterday.
That's content to talk about. Oh,
there was no content. It was pretty mid.
What'd you play? How'd you do? Let's hear all about it. 30-second trip report.
Played some 8-5 video poker, and I lost $100, and then I made a $60 sports bet and lost that too, and then I went to the Oriole game, and that's it.
The burning question that everyone needs to know about the Horseshoe Baltimore is, did you go check the face-up PyGal poker table to see if there's still commission?
I sure did not, because I will not be going back to that table.
I just want to know. I want to check to see if that was just some screw-up or if that's really the standard.
Next time you're there, you can play and let us know.
I'll never go again. All right. Next question.
Pat says, you've done this for 10 years and are approaching 300 episodes. Has that sunk in? It's an incredible feat. Well, thank you. That was a great question. No, so he says, maybe one third of the way through, I recall a discussion where you explained deciding against monetization. I understood that decision, but at the same time, you do a lot of work for the show. Is there an easy monetization you considered? For example, selling some swag in the Better Life storefront like Market Dr. Mike? Yeah, I mean, I think the way I've always thought about it, and I'm curious to see what you think, given that you put far more into the podcast than I do, is that, you know, I'm not against monetization necessarily if it's going to be a significant amount of money that's going to change something about my life. But for $100 a month, which is like probably on the upper end of what one can expect, I don't know. I don't feel the need to do it. But like I said, you're the one that does all the work. So I'm curious what you think.
Okay. So I've always sort of said, oh, you know, I don't want to monetize unless it's quit my job type money. I don't think it's that to that level.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think if it was $1,000 a month, that would be worth it, but we're not going to make that, so.
Yeah, so I'll use an analogy. I used to work at a nonprofit journalism organization, and we had a problem where we kept applying for grants, and all of these grants wanted you to, like, over-promise, over-deliver and on the funding. And so, you know, you'd make these grant applications where you're asking for a small amount of money, but you're promising to do so much work.
I don't think it has to be that way. I mean, I think you can have a Patreon and it's just,
promise
nothing. And you're just like, if you appreciate what we do, you could donate 10 or 20 or whatever bucks a month. And I'm sure that there would be people that would do that. But so it doesn't have to be the way that you're laying it out.
That's true. I mean, I know that that's a big issue with Kickstarter video games where you have to promise so much for the Kickstarter tiers that you just could never get out from developing that game.
Well, it's quite different for us because we already have a product, and like the product is the product largely, I think, at this point. So.
Yeah, so we don't need to hit some funding point to where it happens or doesn't happen, period.
Right.
But I do think, you know, for an amount of money that doesn't even alter my gambling budget, right, for any given trip, I think it's not worth the effort. It's not even the effort. It's the sense of obligation. Like right now, it's been very hard for me to get the podcasts out in a timely fashion. I don't know if you can tell that as a listener. But I would feel so much more pressure if we were even getting $25 a month from people.
Yeah.
So just add that little bit. So I think that's more where I'm at, is I just, that little bit of pressure is just more than I can handle.
Yeah. No, I understand. I get that.
I can't even do a new shirt design or update the resort fees.
I mean, yeah, in case people don't know, which if you're a longtime listener, you do, we did actually have shirts and we sold them at cost to people. And that was cool. And I'd love to do it again. That's obviously not a profit-making opportunity, but...
Yeah, that's another... Like, we could have made, like, what, 10 bucks a shirt? So total, we would have made, I don't know, 700 bucks?
We were
bucks?
Selling shirts for, like, what, 8 bucks each or something like that? Yeah, we could have absolutely sold them for 18 and made $10 a shirt. We would have made $1,000, probably, yeah.
But then you also get into, like, do we need to be...
Taxes, yeah.
Setting up an LLC, like, we have...
Right.
That gets into messing with stuff that I don't want to deal with, too.
Yep.
All right, I love this next question. How much of the continued podcast run is justification to your families and friends about your Atlantic City trips? For the good of the podcast, he puts in quotes. Is that the intangible monetization? No need to answer or acknowledge this if it causes issues.
I mean, I'll say, I don't know how you feel about it, and we may have talked about this at episode 100 or 200 or something like that, but I mean, I think a lot of it was that, or like a lot of it is at this point, it's a good way for me to talk to you every couple of weeks about something we both enjoy, and like there would be value that's removed from my life if we didn't do the podcast, because realistically, we just would not talk nearly as often then, and yeah. Like there is value in that, but for the stated reasons, I'm pretty shameless, so I don't necessarily feel like I need to have an excuse of why I want to go to AC or whatever, but I understand that certain other people are different than me and would feel differently about that. But there is other value I get out of the podcast.
It did pop into my head the other day, before this question even came in, of would my wife question the frequency of the Atlantic City trips more if the podcast did not exist? Because the way it is now, it's like, well, we're doing the podcast. You know I've got to get to Atlantic City. But if you lose that justification, I don't think she really would necessarily, because we certainly went a decent amount before we had the podcast, although that was before kids.
How often? I know you have lists of all of our trips. Did we used to go more often in like 2013? I feel like we didn't, honestly. I feel like we go more now. But maybe our trips were slightly longer each in duration and slightly more people back then.
Yeah, we went 3 to 4 times a year. So it was probably a little less.
But it was probably like the same number of days, because I feel like we wouldn't do one day trips back then. I don't feel like.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you from the spreadsheet, we did a lot more 2-night trips, but we also did a lot more day trips.
Oh, really?
I have 3 day trips in the first maybe 10 AC trips that I ever did.
That must just be you, though. I don't remember really doing a ton of day trips. All of us?
Me, you, Taylor, and Andy, although I'm wondering if everybody else stayed the night except me.
I think that must have just been you.
Me, you, and Zach did a day trip once for sure. But that was just, we all did a day trip. Me and you did a day trip in August 1 year.
I would guess that me and Zach stayed the night again.
I'm fairly certain you didn't.
Maybe.
And then I don't think we've done a day trip. Oh, no, I did. We did one day trip in December.
I did a day trip to meet you at Zorkfest.
Right, that's true.
But you that did. Is the last day trip I did, I'm pretty sure.
But you're right. There is a lot more 2-day trips in there.
I used to do 3-day trips semi-regularly. Like my bachelor party. Well, not my bachelor party, but the trip we went just before I had my first kid. Yeah, but just before episode 1. I think I was there for 3 nights.
I've never done a 3-night Atlantic City trip.
I mean, I think most people were there for 2 nights, I'm pretty sure, but I think I was there for 3.
It's a funny question. I don't know. Certainly, you know, keeping the podcast going does not hinge on needing that justification. Right. Oh, it is a convenient and nice justification, though, I will say. It's nice to have that in the pocket. But I think if anything, I mean, obviously our close friends and my family know that I have the podcast, but sort of acquaintances, I feel like the podcast brings up more questions about my Atlantic City going. I wouldn't have to justify going to Atlantic City 4 times a year to somebody who is like a parent from my kid's school. But if they then also find out that I have an Atlantic City podcast, then they're like, whoa, you're really into this gambling thing. And I feel more the need to justify that I have a podcast or to like downplay how much it is that I'm going to Atlantic City and how much I'm playing. Because I feel like those are questions that I don't want to answer. Like it implies things that are maybe not true.
The secret is just being shameless. And that's how I work it out for myself.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, about just asking to go to things. Like, I still haven't asked anything about a fall Vegas trip for similar reasons. I like the idea that this is intangible monetization of the podcast. Like, there is value in having the podcast in that it gets me to get Atlantic City trips on the calendar. Much like there's value in having, say, a 13-game plan to the Baltimore Orioles, not that that's a thing they offer anymore, where you have dated tickets. Because it's easy to say, well, it's cheaper to just go whenever. It'll just go to any game. And then you don't ever go and the season ends and you haven't gone once. Not that this gives us dated things to go to Atlantic City. And I'm all about bad analogies today. But it does give us like impetus to always be thinking about that next trip.
Yeah, like in April.
And I do think, like, calendar-wise, yes. Calendar-wise, without the podcast, I think it would be so easy to just be like, well, you know, we could go in April, but, you know, I'll just be getting back from Disney, and then we've got this other thing, and there's a thing the week before, and there's a thing the week after, and then you just never go.
We would go either once or twice a year, I think, without the podcast, for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Once would be my guess, honestly.
Yeah, now we're going, like, 4 to 5, so intangible monetization, for sure. Here's the last suggestion that I think you should read, because you're going to be all about it.
Going weekend of April 25th. Good suggestion. All right, so Pat says, consider a Mystery Science Theater 3000 approach to watching the Burt Lancaster Atlantic City movie. Not a question, I guess, but a terrible idea or a great idea. Claude could be the robot.
You're all in.
Claude would not be the robot. Absolutely not. I think it would just be me and you. Maybe. I mean,
you would be the robot.
Yeah, I mean, sort of. I've been called a robot before, so I take it as a compliment, not as an insult. That's interesting. I mean, it's not something I would want to release on the normal feed, which means where would it go?
Patreon.
I'm not...
at the $1 million tier.
Yeah, I'm not against it. I mean, we'd have to set it up and, like, sync it up and, you know, it would take some doing, but the idea I don't think is totally unreasonable.
There is a way to do synchronous watch party on some of the streaming apps. We could probably figure that out.
I've used it before. There's, Play Together, Watch Together, some site that lets you watch YouTube together, and hopefully it's on YouTube. I have no idea, but...
The one that we should really, I mean, we sort of did this, but a full feedback track, whatever you call it, like a commentary track, there you go, nailed it, is that news feature on Atlantic City when the casinos came in that we talked about in much detail one episode.
That was a good news feature. I mean, there's other news features that are out there. There was one from 10 years later, I feel like, and I definitely, they come up in my YouTube feed every now and then, and I'm like, oh, that'd be interesting for the pod.
But I should really rewatch that one that we watched and liked so much.
That one was so good. Yeah, no, it was really, really good.
With the watermark on it the whole time. That's the best part.
Steve Wynn.
Oh, I forgot Steve Wynn was in it.
Oh, yeah. Angeloni. all the greats. Maria from Maria's Luncheonette.
The parking lot lady.
She was big mad at Steve Wynn.
She was. Luigi's.
Yeah, Luigi. Luigi himself was there.
But yeah, it was funny seeing Steve Wynn talk so much about how well they comp and, you know, it's all to get you to gamble. And that's just not how casinos act anymore, as we talked about last episode.
Yep. No, it's changed a bit.
Bring back Steve Wynn. R.I.P. Steve Wynn. Who's not dead, by the way.
Do you want to go to the next group of questions? Or do you want to
No, I think we should save some.
All right. We'll save some questions for next episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/2forwin. Find all of our great content at 2forwin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter, 2forwin, or me at Kyle Laskin. And send Craig questions to 2forwin@gmail.com, and we will answer them on air. Any last words?
We've got like 8 more Pat questions to get to next episode, which is good.
5, right?
Yeah, 6. 5. Yeah, 5. Yeah. 5 in one of them I have added. Mm-hmm. A second part. One of them's about data, so, you know, we'll talk about that with a data episode.
We'll save that for the next time we have data, which will probably not be... Maybe it'll be next episode. I don't know when the data comes out for March, but we'll see.
It'll be close.
I don't know. Anything else?
Atlantic City.
April 25th?
April... I mean, it probably needs to be like a Sunday to a Monday or something.
Okay.
Here's the problem with April.
So April 26th, unfortunately, my wife has something on the calendar, but we can... talk about it, I guess.
April 25th, my wife has something on the calendar. My son's travel baseball is every Sunday.
Okay.
Until the end of May and into June.
I could get there Sunday evening, I would think.
Yeah, same. We should aim for April 26th, 27th.
Yeah, that looks like the best weekend for me. Why don't we just write it in pencil on the calendar then? 26th, 27th. We're going to go to whatever.
Ocean.
Tanoki hour.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Got to. Tapachi hour. Tomoki. Whatever it's called.
Are they open on Sundays?
They're only closed on Tuesday, I'm pretty sure.
Did we close out? Is this the post show now?
No, I think we're still podcasting.
Good stuff.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll talk to you in a few weeks. Yeah, so I love when I tell people, I'm like, yeah, I'm from Baltimore. And they're like, all I know about that is I've seen The Wire. Was it like that when you grew up? And I was like, okay, I'm not like from Baltimore per se.